It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton. I missed being with you last week. Actually, I was up in Colorado on an elk hunt, an elk and bear hunt. I believe the muzzleloader show that we did a week before last ran again last week. And the ones that missed it the first week, I hope you learned something about muzzleloading in the show that re-ran. But this week, we're going to talk about the trip that I just got back from up in northern Colorado, not far from the Wyoming border. The black bear numbers up there are more than anybody that lived there have ever noted. I've never seen anything like the number of black bear that we saw. We're going to try to talk with Larry Wysoon in our show today. And, you know, Larry is a wildlife biologist. He knows a lot about deer. His title is Mr. Whitetail, but Larry also knows a great deal about black bear. We're going to try to pick Larry's brain, talk about black bear, and maybe let him explain why so many bear are concentrated in such tight areas up in Colorado this year. Now, our show today is underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada, where there are also some mighty big bear and deer. You can go online to youngswildernesscamp.com and check them out up there. The toll-free number to call Young's Wilderness Camp is 866-894-0674. Young's Wilderness Camp is located, by the way, on a private island right in the middle of Lake of the Woods up in Ontario, not too far across the Canadian border. Folks, as promised, Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail, is our guest today, and I've really been looking forward to asking Larry some of the questions and finding out why there were so many bear up in northern Colorado on our elk hunt. Larry, are you with us this morning, sir?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what. Of course, you and I talked a little bit on the phone while you were up there about the numbers of bear that you're seeing. And I think there are two different factors that really kind of come into play. Is that one, as you recall, there were a considerable number of fires scattered throughout northern part of Colorado, which for the time being kind of wiped out some of the habitat that was there and the food sources. You couple that, so that kind of pushed some of those bears into new areas that they normally might not have been this time of year. But you couple that with the fact that you told me that you had a tremendous acorn crop in that area where y'all were hunting. So you had some displaced bears, a really good building bear population all throughout the West. They're increasing in numbers at almost an alarming rate. But when you have that food source and all the number of bear that are in that basic area, and then all of a sudden here's this tremendous amount of acorn crop that you've got, I mean, it was like putting a salad bar out there for somebody in a crowd of people that hadn't had anything to eat for several days. So it really kind of probably pulled those bear in from a long way.
Exactly, Larry. And I remember when I called you, you said there's a reason that there's so many bear. And you said it's going to be a food source. And I started, you know, looking. A lot of those oak trees, I'll call them mountain oaks because I don't really know the variety of oak it was, but a lot of those things would grow up maybe no more than 10 or 12 feet high. And many, many of them, you would drive the roads to go hunting the elk and all, you would see where the bear had crawled up in them and just stripped the limbs, you know? At first we thought, the hunters that I had with me, he said, Luke, that's a big elk that reach up there and do that. And I said, let's look around. Bear tracks all around it. But we had nature can create some funny scenarios. But this right here was one of the wildest deals I've ever seen. The hunters that we had in camp and all, I think I lost count over 60 bear sightings. And obviously some of them might have been the same bear, but you know, it's just, you could drive the roads and you would see. It would be very common going from the cabin up to the top of the mountain where we hunted, which is about 4 miles road, very common to see at least two or three bear sightings. And a lot of times the bear just off the road 30, 40 yards, you know. It was just a phenomenon.
That is, I'll tell you. It's just probably one of those years. It'll be interesting to see as that food supply is kind of depleted by the number of bears that are there, but also some of this other stuff starts going back after the fires. What will happen with that local bear population to see whether it disperses. Sometimes they'll move into an area and pretty much stay there, and so other times, you know, once that food starts going by the wayside a little bit, they'll start spreading back out again. But what a great, unique opportunity for you and the guys that were there to see that number of bear, because that's pretty much just unheard of otherwise.
It is. I was actually on the site. There was a water was in short supply on this big ranch that we leased. There was one, two, three different water holes that had water. Most of them had dried up, but there was one water hole that in a wallow that I was with the guy that was hunting elk, and I was up on the side of a hill from the water source, probably an elevation, probably 50 feet higher, you know, on the side of the mountain, and probably, it'd give you a good perspective, maybe 80, 75 yards away from the water. He was down right on the water's source, hid had a little makeshift blind for him.
Right.
There. And a bear, a big bear, it had a color face, Larry. It was almost on the, for all purposes, it had a little bit, it was an old boar, and he had a little bit higher shoulders, almost like a hump on him, you know, but
right.
it was a blondish color on top, and he had dark legs, dark black legs.
Beautiful
bear. Well, this bear walked within about 20 yards of my hunter down there, and I was up, of course, he'd heard me, I'm sure, cow calling, you know, up on the side of the hill. Well, when he decided to leave, when this big boar decided to leave, he could have went anywhere. He starts running, I mean, loping. You know, they can cover a lot of distance.
Yes,
and it
can.
Seemed like 2 seconds. He caught my scent. He was probably 40 yards from me. And this big boar froze. And I was laid out, laying down, actually, on a steep slope instead of setting up, you know.
Right.
And I had my camera, you know, with a 300-millimeter lens. And I'd shot some distant pictures of this boar. And when he got my scent, it was like a pointer on point. He just froze. And you know how an old bird dog will lock up and...
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, that's what this bear did. And he kind of walked in on me, you know, sniffing. I was so close in, I could see his nostrils, you know. And he got within 12 or 13 yards. I paced it later. and he has got one paw up, leaning in. And he did not show aggression, but he didn't know what I was either. And I finally thought, how am I going to get out of this deal? And I started, just took my feet and scrambled around a little bit, scraped the ground. And, you know, that got his curiosity. And slowly I stood up, you know, and kind of made myself taller, you know, bigger.
Exactly.
Well, stuck my arms out. And I thought, wow, if this don't work, I have got trouble plenty. So he didn't run. But he backed away, Larry, and we had a couple more encounters like that. One was a little bit more serious than that, but nobody got hurt, and we all learned a lot about black bear.
And you got to see a lot of them, even photograph them. Like I say, what a fantastic hunt you guys must have had.
They were, and the food was the key, like you were telling me. One guy shot a nice bull. He made a bad shot, shot him too far back, which happens. It's just part of hunting. We don't like it, but it happens. He shot the bull too far back, and we trailed him that night till there was no trail left to trail, and we hated to pull off the trail, but we did.
Right.
And the next afternoon, the magpies and the ravens, we saw them, probably 1,000 yards from where the bull was shot.
Yep.
And you know, when we found that animal, Larry, the horns, the head, 90% it was there. 90% of the meat was gone, and we ran a big bear off. So I assume bear can eat a lot of meat quickly.
They can, and there could have been more than, you know, that one bear on there, too. It could have been two or three bears coming in there to eat at different times. But you're right. But, I mean, again, it comes down to the fact that we do have ever-increasing black bear population throughout most all the West, including here in Texas, actually. And with that, you know, the food sources become so very important, whether it's either the fact of the hunter kill meat being available to them, and it's something to certainly take in consideration. Anybody that may be headed up there to hunt elk or hunt mule deer, to be sure to try to get that meat recovered very quickly. And then if you do put it in camp, don't put it right next to your tent if you're staying in a tent, because that smell of that meat and venison certainly might bring in a bear. So just little things to consider, and if you get an opportunity to get a bear license, by all means do so, because it's just a matter of time before that population of bear reaches a point to where it's going to start having a detrimental effect upon the local other wildlife as well. So we need to kind of keep everything in balance between predator and prey.
Yes, sir. And the ranch owner, he was all about hunting bear. He wanted to see.
I'm sure he is.
He was all, 'cause he has a few cattle. He runs cattle on there in the summertime. Larry, up here in Northeast Texas, Nathan Garner was with Texas Parks and Wildlife. I did a newspaper article a couple of years ago about the ever-increasing number of black bear up in Red River County, Bowie County, all
yes,
these
sir.
Northeast Texas counties. And I remember when interviewing Nathan that the Louisiana bear, and then the American bear, two species, but the ones coming down from Arkansas, all they have to do is cross the Red River, you know.
Right.
And they're here from Arkansas and southeastern Oklahoma. But bear numbers are ever increasing up here in Northeast Texas. Most people are aware of it. When I tell some people that the first time, it shocks them. But I guess, you know, there's still a lot, especially in Red River County. There's a big Chapman Ranch where I think you might be going to do a hunt.
Yeah.
I was raised 12 miles from the Chapman Ranch. There's a lot. It seems there would be enough habitat in Northeast Texas to support some bear. I know they need a lot of wild country, though, don't they?
They do, but, I mean, there is a sufficient amount of country there for decent bear population. And actually, for the most part, outside of, human encounter kind of things, they do reasonably well, you know, even fairly close in to human habitation kind of thing, or not quite like the coyote or the possum or the coon, but I'll tell you what, they do reasonably well, and that population is not going to do anything but increase over the next bunch of years. I mean, as we see, well, there's a lot of that country that's being well managed for other wildlife, and that's going to create a better source of food, you know, in terms of variety and everything from food plots to, you know, people putting out commercial type pellets and feeders and for corn, and that's all pretty darn good deer food. So I can't see anything but that population increasing over the next several years.
Well, our mutual friend Mike Ford up in Red River County, Mike sent me a picture of what appeared to be maybe a 300-pound bear, big bear. Or big for, you know, this part of the world. He was a big one, and he was standing on his hind feet at a corn feeder, 55-gallon drum, you know, and his head was up almost, not quite to the top, but close. So they know how to seek out that natural food, you know, and whatever's available, I should say. I'd like to see it where there's bear again up in Northeast Texas.
I would love to see the same thing with, of course, I live down in Southwest Texas out west of San Antonio, and we do have a few bears scattered around in our lower hill country here, and then too, the bear down in Mexico, or you're not, oh, the mountains are probably about 60 miles from the Rio Grande, and whenever they have a very severe drought or that population increases, you see a lot of young bears start showing up and through this area of Uvalde and Del Rio and Lakey, and I mean, there's a good food source there too. And as we've seen people go away from the sheep and goat industry in those areas and go to cattle, there's not any pressure put on those bear, even though it would be an illegal pressure. But at the same time, with those sheep and goats not being there, there's a ever increasing bear population in this part of the world too. So, you know, the next bunch of years, we may even see, a bear population reach a point to where they can do a few limited number of permits issued each year.
You bet. Well, it's folks like you and I and most all of our listeners, I'm sure it's exciting to know that we're that close to bear. Larry, you know what? They're telling me we are just about out of time for today's show. Thank you very much for being with us. And, you know, we've had you on here, KETR, several times with us. I've got a lot of good feedback, you know, from our listeners. Everybody loves to hear you, you know, your words of wisdom and love to have you visit with them, you know.
Well, it's my pleasure and honor to be on here with you. So thank you very much and look forward to the next time.
You bet. Folks, that was Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail. Do remember now, you can go to KETR.org. And then you go to the website after today, you'll see a picture of a big old bear that I took, and you'll see the guest for this week was Larry Wysoon, so you can listen to him from, you know, for the next year or two right there at that archive. Do remember to tune in there, KETR.org, and remember Catfish Radio. Larry's with me each week, and we do an hour-long hunting and fishing show. So till this time next week, be safe.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.